Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be back this afternoon. And, you know, I don't get to come very often. I've actually come a few times since Christmas. So I want to be here as much as I possibly can. But for those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Thompson. And there's a few people that we have that are first-time visitors. And we appreciate you being here. And this morning I preached a sermon that was encouraging and trying to inspire people. But tonight I'm trying to preach the paint off the walls. So I don't want people to be offended. I know it might be your first time here, but some of the things I say you might not have ever heard in a sermon before. And you know, if you're offended, that's okay. But you know, just listen to what I have to say before you get mad and walk out, all right? Because some of the things I'm going to say tonight are hard things to be said, but they're also true. And it comes straight out of God's word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the Bible can cut you to the quick, and it can get down and discern what you're thinking in your heart. And so let the Bible just cut you tonight, and don't be offended by God's word. Amen. You know, because you know the Christianity isn't just about hearts and flowers and puppy dog tails all the time. There's some hard things that happen. There's some bad things that happen in the Bible. There's some bad things going on in our world today, and you know a lot of people aren't preaching against it, and that's why so much weirdness has happened, because Christians have forgot the principles of the Bible, and this world has gone topsy turvy and upside down with all manner of weird doctrine and weird teaching and weird things that they teach people in schools nowadays. And the Bible and God is against those things. So don't be offended. Just listen to what I'm saying. And just, you know, if you can't handle it, then, you know, whatever. You can just leave. But I don't want you to leave, but I'm just saying that there's going to be some hard things in here. So we're in Matthew chapter 19, and we read the whole chapter so that you can get the context of what's going on. So, the title of my sermon tonight is, "There's Only Two Genders, Believe the Science." There's only two genders, believe the science. Because today, like I said, the world's going crazy, and people are trying to tell us that there's like 64 genders out there. I mean, I thought there was only two. Last I knew there was two, so apparently there's 64 genders. But what I would say is that there's only two genders, and you know, 62 types of queers, right? So that's really the truth of the matter, because all the other stuff is a bunch of weird things that people are teaching you. Look, that's not science, all right? People are trying to say that this is science. But we had there was this fight last week in Congress, and actually they passed a thing called the Equality Act in Congress, but it's not passed through the Senate. Now, I'm hoping that it doesn't pass through the Senate. You know, if we get 10 Republicans, look, this isn't a political sermon, by the way, but if there's 10 Republicans that pass this through, it's going to have ramifications in church. It really will. It's going to have ramifications in anybody that wants to, you know, when they say it's an Equality Act, that means somebody else is losing their freedom. That's what it really means. It means that someone could come in here and there's some tranny, and they can come in here and work for the church, even though we don't believe in transvestites. They shouldn't even exist. Amen. That's right. According to God. So, but this world's gone crazy, and now what they say is equality doesn't mean equality for Christians. Okay, it's all topsy turvy. It's all weird stuff. But what I wanted to focus on right here is in verse number 4. It says, "Have you not read?" This is Jesus talking. "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Do you see any other genders besides that? No, it says male and female. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful day. We thank you for all the salvations that have taken place. Lord, we love people and want to see them saved. But Lord, we have to preach the truth. And tonight I'm going to preach the truth, whether people like it or not. And I pray that you'd help me with this sermon, Lord, and that you'd help me and that I'd be filled with your spirit as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Jesus said that, does it say he made the male and female plus, you know, 62 other genders? Does it say that? So who's right? Who's right? Is it the world that's saying all this garbage, or is it God's word? God's word is what's true. We're Christians here today. We're reading out of a Bible, and that's what we're going to focus on, and that's what we believe, and I'm not going to apologize for that. Amen. There's two genders. And so where I got the title of the sermon from is this lady that, you know, there's a when they were trying to debate this in Congress, this one woman who has a transgender daughter put a flag up, this pink and blue, whatever their transgender flag is supposed to be, and put it in front of this office of a woman that doesn't believe like that, so that every time she had to leave her office, she had to see this transgender flag every time she walked out. So what the other lady do? She had a sign made, and it said, "There's only two genders, believe the science." And that, and they said, this bigot, this hateful bigot, it's like, no, you know what's hateful is to push something like that, some of that garbage in somebody else's face, and then when they want to defend themselves, then they're the one that's the bigot. Yeah, right. You know, we shouldn't have to put up with garbage like that in the secret halls of justice or whatever they say. Look, they passed that law, you know, because they hate God. Right. All right? So God has nothing to do with our Congress. They are off the rails on a crazy train for real. So there's this, so it was Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'm just going to read a little bit from this article, has used a sign outside her office to claim that there are two genders, male and female, citing science. So this is obviously, they're not on this person's side, right? However, experts have told Newsweek the sentiments of the sign go against the scientific evidence of sex and gender. So, but here's the thing. Scientists have not proved that there's other genders. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, they've done all these studies, and I'm going to read from you some of these studies that have come out trying to find this gay gene, you know, like genetics, like there's some gay gene that makes people want to be gay or homos or sodomites or whatever you want to call them. I don't really like to call them gay. I like to call them sodomites or queers. But anyway, they're saying that there's it contradicts science, that her saying that it's to believe the science, that she doesn't understand science because science says that people are born gay or whatever. Look, if God told people in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, that people should be put to death, that's what the Bible says. Okay, I'm not going to apologize for what the Bible says. Amen. If that's what the Bible says, wouldn't that make God a monster if he made people born that way? Wouldn't that make him a monster? Hey, I'm going to make people born that way, but then I'm going to tell you to kill them. That would make God a monster, wouldn't it? If God said, you know, if people said, well, serial killers are born that way, you know, wouldn't that make God a monster to say to put murderers to death? God is not a monster. God is good and only is capable of doing good. He can't even tell a lie. So if he says that certain people should be put to death, that's what the Bible says. God's right, we're wrong. No matter if we have a homo cousin or a daughter or a son or a mom or whatever it is, God's right, they're wrong. So, number one tonight, the Bible declares two genders. Let's look at the verse again. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. And this is in context of marriage, but Jesus is referring back into Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in chapter 2 and also chapter 1. But look at what it says. The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Which it's not, by the way. And he answered and said unto them, what did he say? What's the most important thing? The Bible. Have you not read? So unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't read the Bible today, and they just believe whatever TV personality preacher is on television or whatever. But you know what? Those people are charlatans. Okay? People need to start reading the Bible for themselves and understanding what it says, because Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting the book of Genesis from the very beginning of creation. Okay? It says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them, what? Male and female. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. And let me tell you something. Here's a scientific thing for you to understand, is that it takes a mom and a dad to make a child. All right? The human race would have been decimated if there was Adam and Steve. Okay? And God isn't going to, again, God does not create homosexuals. They are not born that way. The science, when I get into the science, you're going to see that they've never proved that people are born that way.
Right.
They might say it on the radio. They might say it, and Lady Gaga might say it. Okay? But it doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true. What's true? God's word is true.
Amen.
And it says God joins male and female together. God is the one that married Adam and Eve in the very beginning. That's what God's plan for humanity to move on. Everything brings forth after its own kind, doesn't it? That's scientific. But I'm not in my science part. I'm just telling you what the Bible declares. The Bible actually declares there's two genders, male and female. Isn't that what it says? Am I lying? Am I taking something out of context here? Now turn back to Genesis chapter 2, and let's look at verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 21. Maybe you've never heard preaching like this in real life, but God wants us to preach the whole counsel of God. I can't just go through and preach grace and grace and more grace in a 37-week series on grace and then start over again and start another series on grace. That's what's going on behind most pulpits today. It's all puppy dogs and flowers and unicorns and, hey, I want to make you feel good so when you walk outside you feel good about yourself. Sometimes you got to feel bad about yourself too. God wants you to change the way you are. If you're doing something contrary to what He wants from you, then you need to change. And so sometimes you have to be challenged to change what you think in your mind, what you believe in your heart, and what you're doing with your body. Those things are important to God. It's not just about grace. Hyper grace is already, it's already being preached everywhere else. It's not going to be preached at this church all the time. Now, we love people. We want people to be saved. We read the numbers. There's several people saved this weekend. Does that mean we care about people? Absolutely it does. But we got to have grace mixed with a little salt sometimes, don't we?
Oh yeah.
It has to be. We have to be a little bit salty, otherwise we're good for nothing. We're to be cast in the dunghill, right? Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man." Made he a woman and brought her unto the man. This is how God made man and woman, okay? I don't care what the feminazis say, all this other stuff. God made man first. God made woman to be a helpmeet for the man, okay? That doesn't mean women are lesser. That doesn't mean God doesn't love women as much as he loves men. But that's just the way he did it. And you know what? God's not a woman. God is a man. He's a man of war, the Bible says. But, you know, he's also God. So, all right. I'm not going to go into a Trinity doctrine here, but I'm just saying, you know, people get offended over everything today. Like, Brother Chad was telling me something that made me really mad. I'm just going to say it right now. In California, they just passed a new law that if you put in a department store boys' toys and girls' toys, you can get fined for that? So they made it, you have to have no gender in the toys anymore in the state of California.
I don't know if it passed. They're trying.
Well, they're trying to pass it. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Sorry, Pastor Jimenez. But I love lots of things about California, but their lawmakers, I don't. But anyway, it says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall," and this is what Jesus is quoting right here, "therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So God in the beginning, his plan was to make a man and a woman, and he told them to replenish the earth and to make more children. And guess what? You're all here because you have parents. Imagine that. A man and a woman, you know, it wasn't Z and Zay and Zena and whatever all these other weird gender-neutral pronouns. Most people, I'm pretty sure everybody in here had a mother and a father, right? So number one, the Bible proclaims its truth, that there's only two genders. Number two, science affirms two genders. Number two, science. You know, the thing that people say we don't believe in as Christians, well, we believe in science. We had a guy today that refused to get saved today because he said that, well, I'm a man of science. I mean, he acted like he believed everything until the very end he was asked to pray. And he's like, well, you know, I'm a man of science. And it's like, but I believe in space aliens and, you know, he didn't say Bigfoot, but I figured he was probably a Bigfoot guy. But we were pleading with this man to be saved, but he believes all this other stuff and he calls it science. Space alien. He's probably watches too much of, what's that show, Ancient Aliens? Look, Ancient Aliens is trash. It's not true. Amen. But science affirms two genders. I'm going to read you. Actually, go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter number 1. And so Christians believe in science. All right? God isn't against science. It's not God or science. It's both. Amen. But see, there's false science that's being pushed down everybody's throat these days, and they're trying to tell us things are science that really aren't, like the Big Bang. Yeah. That 4.6 billion years ago, nothing exploded, an infinitesimal dot exploded, and then made everything that you see here today. And a moon and a sun that are exactly the same size in the horizon for us that make, I mean, look, this world, if one thing was off, we would be dead. God made it sustainable for us to live in, and if one thing was, if we got moved a couple degrees out to the left or whatever, an asteroid hit us and knocked us off of our trajectory, we'd be dead. But God isn't going to let that happen. So look at Daniel 1. It says in verse 3, the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So the king wants these smart kids to come and work for him and be trained in all the ways of the Chaldeans because they were taken away from their homes. But it says, children in whom was no blemish, so they were good looking, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. So these kids are godly kids. They understand a lot of things. You know what else they understand? They understand science. And I bet you they understood that there's only two genders, male and female. I bet you they knew that much. You know, that's really not that hard to figure out. You know, I forgot who I was talking to about this earlier. Was it you, Brother Chad? When 100 years ago, if you would have said there's other genders besides male and female, they would have looked at you like you had two heads. Nobody would have. That's insane. But here we are today, 64 genders. And I'm not even going to read all the 64 that they say that there are. But, you know, these gender-neutral pronouns that they want. Look, in emails, at certain places where people work, who works at a place where emails come through and it says they, them, or theirs? Or they don't want to say he, him, her. They're trying to get away from all those kind of pronouns. It's usually government places where people work. But it says these young men here understood science, and they had such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. So I'm going to define science for you, because I think that the people that say they believe in science don't actually even understand what the word science means. Because you cannot go back 4.5 billion years ago and see a Big Bang happen. You can't. You know why? Because it didn't happen 4.5 billion years ago. It never happened. Amen. It's junk. It's not science. Science is the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation. That means things you can see, and experiment. So basically, things are things you can test and observe and see. You can't test and observe and see the Big Bang. You can't test and observe and see dogs having non-dogs, or every animal brings forth after its own kind, according to the Bible. And what do you see today? If you want to test something, you want to see what actually is truth, you can look at the animals that are here today. Have you ever seen a dog have a cat before? Anybody? Have you ever seen a turtle have a snake? No? You know why? Because everything brings forth after its own kind, just like the Bible says in the beginning. That's science. That's being able to observe and test. And, you know, these evolution people, they say, well, you have to add the magical ingredient, which is billions or millions of years. Because, you know, you just don't understand, Pastor Thompson, you're so stupid because, you know, a banana produced all the things you see today. Or it rained on the rocks for billions of years, and then things crawled out and found things to marry and found things to... That doesn't make sense. That's not science. That's false science. So you would think that you can understand through science also that there's only two genders. I mean, we can pretty much... I mean, if you have a brain in your head, you understand that this is true, right? But we're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. Look what it says. It says, and God made the beast of the earth after what? What does it say? His kind. And cattle after their kind. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So way back in the beginning in Genesis, God had made certain animals and they were brought forth after their own kind. That's what you see today. That's science. So science is, again, things you can observe and test. What did it say thousands of years ago when God created the earth? That you would be able to see things bringing forth after their own kind. What do you see today? Things bringing forth after their own kind. Male and female. Right? And so it says, and God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. What's it say? Male and female created he them. All right? So this is the Bible still saying. I'm going to get into the science here in just a minute. But the Bible says it. Science affirms it. All right? And it says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. How do human beings, how are they fruitful and multiply? You know, you're supposed to get married. You have children. I'm not going to explain all the other stuff. That's something you can explain to your children on your own. But anyway, I don't want to get graphic in here tonight. But it says they're supposed to replenish the earth. That means they're supposed to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, scientists have tried to find this gay gene that proves that people were born homosexuals. Okay? This gay gene. And so they've done millions of dollars worth of testing on this. They've gone to multiple studies about this. And the last one that they did, I think, was in 2000. I can't remember. I think I have the date in here somewhere. But I'm going to read from you just some articles of what the scientists, genetic scientists that actually studied these things, and let me tell you this, they wanted to find it. They wanted to find the gay gene. But you know what? They never did because it doesn't exist because it's not true. Because God would not make someone born that way. You know, what a mean thing to do to someone, to make someone want to be with the same, you know, and be just in complete confusion with their lives. But anyway, this is from WebMD. This is reputable. It's not from independentbaptist.com or anything like that, okay? It says, since sexual orientation is such a complex trait, we're never going to find any one gene. This is after they've done the study. They're not going to find any one gene that determines whether someone is gay or not. So what's the science say? They're not going to find a gay gene because it doesn't exist. It's going to be a combination of various genes acting together. So now they want to just go into pseudoscience. They're grasping at straws here. As well as possibly, listen to this, interacting with environmental influences. Interacting with environment, that means the environment that you live in is what actually turns you that way. And I would agree with that. Because people end up hating God, and God gives them over to a reprobate mind so they could do those things which are not convenient. Okay? And they're agreeing. This is the scientist. This is not, you know, a professor at a Bible college. This is not some pastor on the internet. This is WebMD. They're telling us what? That is interacting with environmental influences, aka something in their life makes them that way. Okay? And we know the answer to how that happens. But here's what else it says in WebMD. Previous studies in male twins have suggested that between 40 and 60% of the variability in sexual orientation is due to genes. That's what they're saying. The rest is thought to be due to environment and possibly other biologic but non-genetic causes. So in English terms, that is, there is no gay gene. Okay? They're thought, and look, how is it that a homosexual, there's two twins, one's a homosexual, one's not, they're genetically exactly the same. So how do you explain one's gay and one's not? It's because they're not born that way. They did studies on twins. They're not born that way. So here's another article, and I didn't cite the article, but it, again, wasn't from a Baptist website. But it says, here's the article's title. It says, "No Gay Gene. Massive study homes in on genetic basis of human sexuality. Nearly 500,000 genomes reveal 5 DNA markers associated with sexual behavior, but none with the power to predict the sexuality of an individual." Because look, if you could hone in on it, you would know. Like, it's just like mothers in their womb, they know that there's certain genetic abnormalities. Like if there's something wrong, they can kind of find that out. You'd be able to go in and say, oh, there's the gay gene, they're going to be gay, right? But that's what they're saying. It's not true. The largest study to date on the genetic basis of sexuality has revealed 5 spots on the human genome that are linked to same-sex sexual behavior. But none of the markers are reliable enough to predict someone's sexuality. So, I mean, I think that that's probably just made up, but whatever. It says the findings, which are published on the 29th of August in Science and based in the genomes of nearly 500,000 people, shore up the results of earlier smaller studies and confirm the suspicion of many scientists. Listen up here. They confirm the suspicion of many scientists. While sexual preferences have a genetic component, no single gene has a large effect on sexual behaviors. There is no gay gene. That's what they said in the article. Says the lead study author, Andrea Ghana, a geneticist at the Broad Institute of, not University of Independent Baptist, it's MIT and Harvard in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So this is a Harvard genetic biologist. And she says, there's no gay gene. And this is the biggest study that they've ever done. And every time they've ever tried to do a study, it's not true. So listen to me. The Bible says there's two genders. What does science say? That there's nobody is born gay. But we're talking about genders here. So I want to make sure you understand that all the other quote-unquote genders, like I said, they're different types of queers. These are homosexuals that have made these things up. And there's people that have transgender kids or whatever, and they try to back this stuff up. But I'll tell you this. When I was a kid, I never wondered whether I was a boy or a girl. Nobody in my class ever wondered whether they were boys or girls. And I was an 80s kid. But why is it now that all these children in all these different schools are questioning whether they're a boy or a girl? You know who's having them question that stuff? It's their weird and sick parents that they're living with. That's right. That's what it really is. And it's always been about getting to the children. Yeah. And now look at it. People are just, I'm confused. Well, you wouldn't be confused if you weren't in a home where it's teaching you and trying to get you to question what kind of gender you are. Well, maybe, you know, you see like a kid playing with a Barbie doll or something, like, I think he's gay. That doesn't mean, maybe he just doesn't have any other thing to play with. He's just like, okay, well, I'll play with this because there's nothing else to play with. Boys don't, nobody thinks that way. Has anybody in here, honestly, have you, when you were growing up, can you ever remember thinking, I wonder if I'm a boy or a girl? No, nobody thinks that. It's ridiculous. Someone is putting this in people's minds. There's a war going on for the minds of our children in this age. And look, there's a lot of teenagers in here that you're probably, if you go to public school, you're going to be bombarded with this garbage all the time. It's also this other stuff about racism. You know, you're white, so you're automatically this racist. You know, Eddie Murphy just came out and said, I've been in Hollywood for 40 years. I've never experienced racism the whole time I've been there. And I'm not saying Eddie Murphy's a good guy or anything like that. I'm just saying that he just, you know, I'm sure he'll be kicked out of Hollywood for saying that. But he's never had a problem with racism the whole 40 years he's been in Hollywood. Look, people are telling your children at school that if you're white, you have no future. If you're black, you've experienced some form of racism. You just don't realize it yet. Look, people are telling children all these things and it's confusing them. And like, if they're telling your children, you got these freaks that are allowed to adopt people, allowed to adopt children, and they are telling these kids to question their identity. That's where this is coming from. So it's not some thing that's been happening for thousands of years. For thousands of years, nobody even thought anything like that. If you dress up, if you're a man and you dress up like a woman, they considered you a freak of nature. Now they're just like saying, hey, we got to have equality for transgenders. Look, do you really know what that means? That it's going to be, it's worse than it's ever been now, but imagine if some tranny's bringing your food to you at every restaurant you go to. Just imagine that. Or they're working next to you in a hole, you know, in a ditch doing something. Or working, wherever you work, some clown that's 6'5" with a big wig and makeup and a dress. You know, they never wear pants, do they? They wear dresses because they want to look like a woman. They're freaks. And you know what? We're entering into perilous times with all this stuff. So let me read you this other one. All right, so the lady that did, the main study person said there's no gay gene. The main person, Andrea Ghana, a geneticist at the Broad Institute, MIT, and Harvard, she said there is no gay gene. That should end any debate, but they'll still say, you know what? You know what? There still is some genetic possibilities. She shut the door. It's over. And, you know, the twin study, shut the door. It's over. It says, this is a solid study, says Melinda Mills, a sociologist at the University of Oxford, UK, who studies the genetic basis of reproductive behaviors. So even Oxford in the UK, these are not like Christian colleges, folks. These are secular people that want this thing to be true. But that, you know, they can't just rig the science to make it say what it says. So it's just wrong. And they know it and they're admitting it. PBS. Does anybody know what PBS is? Is that like a right-wing Christian fundamentalist group? No. It's supported by taxpayer dollars, brainwashing machine is what it is. But here's what they said. There's no single gene responsible for a person being gay or lesbian. That's the first thing you need to know about the largest genetic investigation of sexuality ever, which was published Thursday in Science. The study of nearly 500,000 people, this is the same study they're talking about, closes the door on the debate around the existence of so-called gay gene. In its stead, the report finds that human DNA cannot predict who is gay or heterosexual. Yeah, you know why? Because they're not born that way. That's why you can't predict it, because someone has to teach them that garbage. Yeah. Or they have to hate God and be given over to that garbage. So it says, the report finds that human DNA cannot predict who's gay or heterosexual. Sexuality cannot be pinned down by biology, psychology, or life experiences. This study and others show because human sexual attraction is decided by all these factors. In other words, they agree. The science agrees with what the Bible says. It's something wrong with them that happens in their life that makes them this way. This is not the first study exploring the genetics of same-sex behavior, but the previous studies were small and underpowered. Aunt Andrea Ghana, the study's co-author and genetics research fellow at the Broad Institute and Mass General Hospital, said in the press briefing on Wednesday, "Just to give you a sense of the scale of our data, this is approximately 100 times bigger than any other previous study on the topic." That's the biggest study that's ever been done. You know what? There's no need to waste any more money on it because it's just not true. And so why is there this big push of all these more the male or female? The Bible says it's male or female. That's it. But why is there this big push? Because people want to defile our children's minds. People want to defile our minds and make us think things that aren't true. Look, the Bible declares it. Science destroys that concept. And God wants us to understand science, but true science. It takes a male and a female to create a child. That's a fact. You know, I saw these two, unfortunately I had to see this, or I didn't have to. I saw this article where there was a transvestite man turned into a woman. And then there was a transvestite man turned into a woman and a woman that turned into a man. And then they got together into a relationship. What? Why? I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make sense. And then they had a child together, and the biological woman that looked like a man with a beard and a mustache. That's how crazy people are getting, folks. And why am I preaching about this? Because, you know what, I know it's a hard topic, but I'll tell you why. Because we need to undo the brain defilement that's going on in this country and in this world today. You know what? The only thing that's going to do that is God's Word. And so, you know, why am I so upset about it? Well, I'm upset about it because I'm tired of it. So, in 2021, we're being told that this insane generation of weirdos, the 64 genders, there's two genders, male and female, that's it. God said He made male and female. So I'll tell you what, somebody's wrong. And guess what? It's not us. Guess what? It's not God. Because what you see with your eyes is the truth. Even those two trainee weirdos that had a kid together, one of them was a biological male and one of them was a biological female. Which, you know, it's disgusting. It's disgusting to see a dude with a beard with a big baby bump. I mean, nobody wants to see that. I'm sorry if I put that in your mind. Just erase, do something. But anyway, so turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." The Bible warns us to avoid science falsely so called. And what is science falsely so called? That there's 64 genders.
Yeah. Amen.
What is science falsely so called? They're born that way.
Right.
They're not born that way. Amen. So I've already proved that through the Bible. I've already proved that through scientific articles and research that's been done. And like I said, they want it to be true. They want it to be true so badly, they want to prove it. But you know what? When they went to try to prove it, it didn't work out. They're wrong. You know what? You know who's right? God's right. So number three, nature confirms two genders. Nature confirms two genders. Look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 26. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Well, you're saying, what? Nature confirms it? Yeah, nature confirms it. God made us with certain natures and things, that proclivities that we have. And you know what? More than two genders is against nature. Wanting the same, a man wanting a man and a woman wanting a woman, that's against nature. And so they can say that there are all these different types of genders all they want, but the Bible says that there's only two genders. All right, look at verse number 26. "For this cause God gave them up," and this is talking about homosexuals and reprobates or whatever, to vile affections. Vile. Vile means it's just something that's disgusting. All right? For even their women did what? Did change the natural use into that which is against nature. The natural use of the woman is to be with a man. But they changed that nature. It's against nature. Isn't that what it says? Are you looking down at your Bible? It's against nature. And it says, and likewise also the men, leaving what? The natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. It's not something, it's not love is love. It's an error.
Right.
It's not normal. It's unnatural. They went against the natural use.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about the things, you know, my first point is that the Bible declares it. The second point is that science proves it and nature confirms it. They're going against what's natural, against what's right, against the way God made them. So God did not make them that way. Somehow they got that way. And the Bible explains how they got that way. Earlier in this chapter, and I'm not going to go into it because I don't have time for that, but it says, you know, people start to worship animals. They start to worship false gods. They start to love, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. And so God gives them up to these vile affections. And it says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't want to retain Him, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means their mind is rejected by God, and they are going to delve into things that normal people are not going to delve into. That's why they're so confused about what kind of gender they are. Because God's confused their minds, and they've gone past this point of no return, and look, they can't ever come back from that. So, and look, once you do that kind of surgery to make yourself, if you're a male and you make yourself into a woman, you can't come back from that. Especially if you, you know, do the hormone blockers and all that stuff. They're doing hormone blockers on children between the ages of 3 and 10 years old by parents' permission. What child even thinks about that kind of stuff? None of them do. It's wicked as hell. And so it says that God gives them over to this reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what's not convenient? Men with men working that which is unseemly. Men, women, you know, changing the natural use of their bodies. It's not normal. It's not natural. The Bible declares that it's not natural. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So God does make us with certain natures and things that we should naturally understand. And hey, you know, society flips things on its head and makes things seem like they're okay when they're really not. So, you know, again, listen to what God says about things, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, it says, judge in yourselves. Oh, you're not supposed to judge. Oh, wait, oh, what does it say? Judge in yourselves. It is it comely for a woman to pray unto God uncovered? Itself teach you that if a man have a long hair, it is a shame unto him. So the Bible is teaching that if a man has long hair, it's a shame. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So what is the Bible teaching here? That the natural way that people should keep their hair is men have short hair and women have long hair. Isn't that what it's saying?
Right.
Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. Get mad at God, but don't get mad at me. And you shouldn't get mad at God because He's the one that makes the rules. He's the one that made you.
Right.
So, but what I'm trying to point out is that nature itself should teach you that. And nature itself should teach you that there's one man, or not one man, but there's male and female. Two genders only.
Amen.
So, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5.
Bible says the woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. This is your cross-dresser verse. So against cross-dressing, against these tranny freaks, okay? This is what God says. The woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And what do you see these freaks always doing? Men putting on woman's garments. Yeah. And women putting on men's garments. That's what you see. Why do they always do that? Because they know what the difference is. They know what the natural thing is that you're going to put on. It is men are going to wear pants and women are going to wear dresses. So why do they always want to, you know, they don't dress in Levi's generally. And try to, you know, if it's a man trying to become a woman, they're going to try to look like a woman. Like this Rachel Levine or however you say her name. This person that's been appointed to Congress. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry you had to see that. Ugly as a woman, ugly as a man also. So obviously just ugly in general. But yeah, what do you see? It was it's a biological man with long hair, wearing a dress. And what does she want to do? She wants to allow, like when she was, I put up a video about it was, not Ron Paul.
Rand Paul.
Yeah, Rand Paul is interviewing this person about this Equality Act. And he says, you know, women are having to compete against men because these biological men are coming in and beating all the sports records. And yeah, they can't make it with the men, so they become women so they can beat them in wrestling or something. I was talking about wrestling this morning. You know, a woman cannot defend herself against a man because men are stronger than women. That's why they're called the weaker vessel. That's not a knock, it's just the truth. You know, there was a girl that used to wrestle in Hermiston, and she was really good. But she would beat the boys because she just had the technique. She had a really good technique in wrestling. And if you don't know anything about wrestling, then, you know, I don't know where I came up with this wrestling stuff today. But I know a little bit about it. So she got to I remember watching the first time that I ever saw her got beat on the mat. And she would wrestle boys, and she'd beat them. But she was just as good as this boy, had all the same technique that he had. She was really good, but you know what? She wasn't strong enough to beat him because he was a man. And that's what's happening today, is that you're having these trans freaks come and break all these women's records. They're not really women. They're biologically males. Look, you know, you could say, well, what? Maybe there shouldn't be women's sports. Whatever. That's not the point. The point is that all their track records are getting broken. Why? Because they're faster. Why are all their weightlifting things getting broken? Because they're stronger. Why are all of them being beat by men in wrestling? Because they're men! It's weird! It is weird that you would even have the audacity to even have a man face off against a woman in these kind of competitive sports and say that they got the record now. I mean, you're living a lie, you drag queen. It's disgusting. So that's why the Bible says, a woman should not put on that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. What does God think about transvestites? He thinks they're disgusting, he thinks they're freaks, and he thinks that they should be put to death. That's what he thinks. Cross-dressing is an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. And look, they're trying to make it to where we have to look and sit and be fed by these freaks and all this other. I'll just stop going to restaurants, plain and simple.
Amen.
There was enough at Chili's last night that I was just like, man, I don't know if I ever want to come back to this Chili's. Thank goodness we got the normal looking one. One had pink hair and the other one was obviously trying to look like a dude. So, well, you know, here's another question. If you're a homo, why do you want to look like, if you're a homo woman, why do you want to look like a dude? Doesn't make sense. Like, you like other women, but you want to look like a man. I mean, it's confusion, folks.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's confusion. They're confused. So, do you want your children to be confused? I surely hope not. And if your children are in public school, if you can find any way to get them out, you should get them out now. You should have got them out last week.
Yeah, right.
And I know that there's not everybody's in that situation. But why am I teaching this? There's a bunch of children in here. There's a bunch of teenagers in here. They need to know the truth.
Amen. That's right.
There's an alternative side. And you know what? God's the one that's right.
Amen.
It's proven in the Bible. It's proven in science. And nature itself tells you that it's not right. That there are only two genders. That's it.
Amen.
So my last point here is that the reprobates pervert the two genders. And I've kind of already spilled over in here, so I apologize about that. Turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 10. I'm going to read for you Micah chapter 3, verse 9. In Micah chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and the princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity." They pervert all. You know, equity is something that's talked about in the Bible, but it's not the equity that these perverts are trying to push on us right now. They pervert. There's people that pervert equity. They want to say, hey, we want to make things all equal for everybody. They want to make things, you know, equity is basically like, you know, a little child that can't see over this. I put a box on the top so they can see over too. So equity and equality are a little bit different, but they're calling this the Equality Act, all right? But that means that they're just giving an advantage to all these queers. That's what it is. They're making them more, they're making them, I don't want to say more better. They're making them better than everybody else. So like in the future, if that passes, then they're going to be able to walk into this church, and if we say you can't come in here, they're going to say, well, I'm suing you then, or I'm shutting this church down. I'm not trying to scare you, but we need to be aware of what's going on. And, you know, I preached about this last week at church that, you know, we're in perilous times. We're starting to get into these perilous times. I mean, they're pushing and knocking at the door right now. But the Bible says the gates of hell should not prevail against us, right? So, like, there's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be, you know, I'm not trying to say all hope is lost. But, you know, we are, I was talking to Brother Dylan, my son-in-law, the other day, and he said, we're basically on a sinking ship and trying to get as many people saved as we can before the ship sinks.
Amen.
It's a good, so yeah, it's like we're on the Titanic right now. The U.S. is the Titanic. We've hit the iceberg. You know, people are playing music over here. Someone's going like this, and I'm the king of the world, whatever. But we're on a sinking ship. Well, I don't think we can fix this thing. You know, and I'm, you know, but we can get as many people saved as we can before that happens. We had a great weekend getting people saved.
Amen.
And we need to get them saved before they get into this weirdness.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, people, here's something that people say. They say, why didn't God stop that person from molesting that child? Why didn't God intervene and try to stop something? And I was thinking about this concept, and I was just thinking, God does intervene. He made a book of rules for us to follow. And you know what? He's tried to intervene a long time ago. And, you know, people just don't want to listen to what he says. Why is there an island off the coast of Washington where they put all these violent perverts? What's it called again?
McNeil
Island. It's an island that we pay for with our tax dollars where they put all these violent predators out there for us to pay for. And you know what? When the island gets overran, then they bring them over to Spokane. Violent predators in our community being paid for by the taxpayers. God does intervene, but nobody wants to listen anymore. That's the problem. And so these kids that are getting molested, and these people that are, these sodomites that are trying to make people into their little personal drag queens, you know what? God has tried to intervene, but nobody's listening to reality anymore. That's the problem. It's not God's fault. It's society's fault. It's this wicked system that we live under. But you know what? Someday, God's going to come back and he's going to make it all right again.
Amen.
You're in Acts chapter 13, look at verse 10. It says, "And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God?" That's what's going on today. Paul had to turn to this person and say, "You evil beast! You know you're using this subtlety and all this mischief." It says, "Thou child of the devil." Look, there's people that we're children of God if we're saved in here today. But you know what? There's also the children of the devil, and they're working overtime right now. And you know what? The only thing we can do is stand where we're at and not compromise and try to get as many people saved as we can. And you know what Jesus is going to say? He's going to say, well done, thou faithful servant. You know, and we're going to have to go through some weird times that we don't know what's going to be like. But you know what? We have to, you know, two's better than one, right? Don't be on your own. Don't try to go to some mountaintop called Ruby Ridge and hide away. Because you know how that all ended up, right? You know, I'm sure that guy, was it Randy Weaver, regrets that he ever did that. And maybe he should, it would have been nice for him to have a nice Bible-believing Baptist church that he could have got plugged in and just served God for the rest of his life, and his, you know, children and wife would probably still be alive. We can't have that mentality where we're just going to go and hide someplace. That's not what Jesus called us to do. He said that we should be in the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
So, and if you're not in a place where you can get people saved, then what are you doing? That's what Jesus wants us to do. So I know this is all pretty negative, but I'll try to give some positivity in there. So here's what happened when they were debating this in Congress. So I'm going to get back to the negative stuff here. Here's what this congressperson, Jerry Nadler, I think I'm saying that right, says. He said, God's will is no concern of this Congress. You want to try to tell me God bless America when our own Congress people that are elected by the people are saying God's will is no concern to this Congress? Because a guy got up and he preached some Bible, he told some Bible verses, another congressman, you know, and it was probably from a bad Bible version, but at least he was saying something of the truth. And you know what it was? I think it was Deuteronomy chapter 22 about men not wearing that which, or women not wearing that which pertains to a man. Excuse me. But look, there's a lot of people out there perverting people, and we got to stop it. We got to preach against it. You know, you could say, well, you know, Pastor Thompson, you know, it's still going to happen whether you preach against it or not. But you know what? I might change one person's mind in this room. I might change one person's mind that's listening on this on YouTube or something. I want to change people's minds before they go through some kind of change that they can't come back from. Because you know what? Not all these people, you know, little kids believe anything that you tell them pretty much. And they say, well, you like to take your kids and brainwash them in church. You know what's brainwashing? It's trying to tell them that they're something that they're not.
Yeah.
You know what's harmful is to tell a child you're not really a boy, you're a girl. You need to get this surgery, and it'll be really cool. And you can, you know, get, you know, look, that's disgusting. Anybody that agrees with that should just get up and walk out right now. Because it's gross, it's disgusting, it's vile, it's reprobate. It's child abuse. Amen. I think anybody that would try to do that to a child is a reprobate and probably should be put to death also.
Amen. Amen.
So, Mr. Potato Head is canceled. I mean, it's big news this week. Mr. Potato Head, and people are freaking out about it. But look, that's the culture we're in right now. Brother Chad was talking about Mr. Coffee. It's probably going to get canceled too. But Mr. Potato Head is canceled. And here's what Hasbro said. Hasbro used to make G.I. or they still probably make G.I. Joe and Transformers, all the toys I played with growing up. But you know what? They probably didn't have some queer as their chairperson or whatever, their head CEO. Hasbro explained its decision this way. Hasbro is making sure that all feel welcome in the Potato Head. So it's called the Potato Head now.
Oh, no.
The Potato Head. And it's not going to be called Mr. What was wrong? There was already Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. You know, they had it right for a while. It started off with Mr. Potato Head, then they made Mrs. Potato Head, and it's been two genders this whole time. You know why? Because there's only two genders. There is no the Potato Head. And it's a toy. I understand that, okay? But they dropped the Mr. from Mr. Potato Head brand name and logo to promote gender equality and inclusion. They have faggotized Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. Seriously. What else have they done lately? What was the thing with Dr. Seuss? Now Dr. Seuss is racist. I mean, nothing's untouchable anymore. I mean, I'm sure I could just sit down and think of a list of things where they're going to gender neutralize everything. Here's a common thing of this non-binary pronouns I was talking about. So this is what they're trying to change, and they don't want you in corporate world to send emails and say, thank you, Mr. Chad, or whatever. They want you to say this. So, and this is what it is. This is, so Z, like, so XE would be Zay, Z, S-I-E, C, Co, and A are sometimes used. The singular they, their, them. That's what people want to be, that's what these gender neutral freaks are trying to make everybody else call them. I mean, I'm not going to do that. Not in my house. It's not happening. You know, all my kids are almost moved out, but I would still never call them those names. How weird is that? I mean, first it was they just wanted to get married, right? Remember that? Some of you guys don't even remember that, but I'm older, but it was always about getting married. We just want to get married. We just want to love. From 2004 to 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that, you know, that there would be this. Well, it was actually the Supreme Court didn't rule it until 2015, but from 2004 to 2015, states were allowing sodomite marriage to take place. So once the Supreme, I was soul winning the day that ruling came forth. I went soul winning marathon that day, and I remember it like it was yesterday. So, but that was the start of the sinking. It was not the start, but it was a major blow to the reality of living in a world. I mean, now my marriage certificate means the same exact thing as some sodomites. That really bothers me. But you know, I know I got married before God. And I know that I got married because I love God, and I got married in a church because I love my wife and I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And that's normal. That's natural. These things are not natural or normal. Mississippi was the last state to overturn laws banning LGBTQ adoption, which a federal judge deemed unconstitutional in 2016. So it used to be that these sodomites weren't even allowed to adopt children. Why? Because they're 2% of the population that does 40% of the child molestation in the world. 2% does 40%. That's an astronomical number. It's a crazy number. And I'm not going to go into all those statistics. It's just vexing. But this ran alongside the fact when they started letting them get married. And so what did they do? Well, now that they're legally married, now they can have children. And so now you see from then to now where we're at. Where are we at? Well, they're about to pass a law where they're saying it's equality for them to be able to work wherever they want, no matter what your religion is. They can walk in and say, you know what? I'm going to sue you because you didn't make me the deacon of your church. I'm going to sue you because you didn't. There was an evangelistic position open and you didn't let me have it. You're sued. You're shut down. You're losing your tax exemption. That's what they're trying to do. It's always been about the children and destroying the church. And you wonder why the last two things that happened are apostasy, the great falling away, and then the man of sin is revealed. The last bastion is the church. You know what? And there's not enough people sticking up for this. There's a lot of people that get mad that I preach about stuff like this. But let me tell you something. Someone has to do it. And you know what? I would rather have God say, maybe you preached that a little too much, than God to say, you never preached on that, Pastor Thompson. You never told people the truth. You never told people the other side of it. And you know what? I'll rest my head tonight and I'll sleep like a baby because I know that I preached the truth. And you know what? I'm not going to compromise on this issue. Amen. I'm not ever going to let it go, and I'm never going to stop preaching about it, no matter if they take our tax exemption away or whatever they do. I don't care. Amen. I'm never going to change. That's good. And I feel okay with the fact that I'm preaching this sermon tonight because it's the truth. Amen. So now it's taught in schools. It's taught in schools. You know, when I was a kid, they did the education for, you know, the SEX education, right? When you were in what? I think I was in fifth grade.
Third grade.
Yeah, now I think it's gotten up to be, you know, way younger than that. Why in the world do kids need to know that stuff in fifth grade? And the things that children, they were allowed to, these doctors came in and they said, you can say whatever you want. You can ask any question you want. And there was kids saying some vile stuff in fifth grade. When I was in fifth grade, that was a long time ago. Okay. I can't even imagine what it's like now. And then where your children are going to be forced to listen to the LGBT, Q, HIJ, KLMNOP, the alphabet people, your children are forced to listen to that. This is that. That's how far the world's gone. When I was a kid, the homos were in the closet. They didn't come out and tell you who they were. I mean, things have changed. There's some young people in here that this is all you've ever known. That every time you go to McDonald's, there's some lady with green hair and bones in her nose. Right? We didn't have to. When I used to work for Walmart a long time ago, you couldn't even have showing tattoos. You had to put a Band-Aid over them. Your hair had to be kept, and if you had long hair, you had to work in the back room. That's how much things, standards of everything have changed. Now you go into Walmart, and it looks like you're in some tribe of Norsemen or something, and you know there's tattoos of all, you know, their tattoos all over their faces, their hair's orange. It's like, you know what, I don't want to be served by people that look like that. So, you know what, yeah. I want to see, I want to see a normal world. Right. I'm glad that everybody in here looks normal. Yeah. Thank you for being normal. So 2020 marks the 50th anniversary, and it's already past 2020, of Pride, an important chapter in the recent U.S. history most of us didn't learn in school, as most states began requiring schools to include LGBTQ history. Pride will start showing up in curriculum, in the textbooks that you pay for with your tax dollars. Libraries, last year, maybe was it last year or the year before, the drag queen story hour started. I know there was one in Spokane, there was one in Vancouver. These things happened all over the world. And look, we're not just talking about some people that said they're homos and they want to read the kid a book. They were dressed in some of the weirdest outfits that you could ever imagine. One was the serpent of Revelation with seven heads and ten horns on it, reading children a storybook. Disgusting. Why? And you know what really upset me is when I saw the news clip where it said, where the drag queen gets up at the end and says, "Who wants to be a drag queen?" And all the kids go, "I do!" In unison. That's exactly what they're doing. They're grooming them. And look, we have to get the message out. We have to stand for the truth. And look, it might cause you to get fired from your job. It might cause you to get persecuted in the community. It might cause people to say, "I can't believe you're such a bigot." Who cares? You know what? I want my kids to know that I was never a compromiser on this issue, ever. And I'll tell you this again. The goal has always been about getting to the children. Why do they always want the children's, what do they call that? The age of consent. The age of consent, they've always tried to fight for this age of consent to go lower and lower. I think it's in Paris, it's like, you know, like 10 years old or something, or 11 years old. They don't even have an age of consent. That's what it is. Because this is what they want. Why were the children in Sodom crying out to the Lord? Why? Because they were being molested by a bunch of Sodomites. You know what? God had to destroy all of them. And that's what's happening. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. And what was it like in Lot's day? Well, his whole house was surrounded by children, men, women, children, from every quarter of the whole city. And God had to fireball that city as an example of those that should live ungodly after. So, why am I teaching this? Because it needs to be taught. Amen. Happy anniversary, Spokane. I preached my anniversary sermon this morning. I already told Chad I was going to preach about this. But it angers me so much. Yeah. And I just want this world to be normal. Amen. You know? And unfortunately, we're in uncharted times. And nobody would have ever thought, I would have never have thought as a kid, that this would ever, the world would ever be the way it is right now, but it is.
Right.
And we're living in the reality of it. And look, if you didn't like my sermon, or if you just have any questions you want to talk to me about afterwards, I really am a nice guy. I'm not going to yell at you. I got a guy saved today. Does it cancel out my yelling? I don't know. I love people. I want them to be saved, but I also want to tell people the truth.
Amen.
All right?
Amen. Right.
And I think it's important as a pastor that I preach the whole counsel of God. Yep. And you're like, well, you always preach about this. Well, you know, look at the time we're living in.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't I preach against it a lot? Maybe I'll, you know, during Easter I'll be nicer. Because you know what? I love my Savior, and I'm looking forward to the day when He's going to come back and make things right in this world.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for the Bible, and Lord, for the truth. And Lord, You made it very clear there's only two genders, male and female. And Lord, I pray that this teaching that I taught tonight would sink down in the ears of even the youngest children and let them understand that this lifestyle that is being pushed these days and all these weird things that they're trying to defile their minds with, Lord, they would understand these things are wicked and they're abomination before You, and Lord, that they should seek to do and serve You their whole life, Lord. Anybody in here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they'd get saved today, or sometime in the near future. I pray You'd help us to be ministers to those that are and not just always ranting and raving and trying to be in some kind of controversy, Lord, but Lord, it's Your word is controversial and it divides. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us to wield the sword correctly. And I pray for every single person that's driving tonight and that drove here. I pray that You bless them, bless their lives, keep them safe. And I just want to thank You for our leadership here and for all the people that come to this church and make it the special thing that it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.